This is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the bang. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
All right, here we go. It's First Up for your Wednesday morning. Welcome in, and thank you so much for being with us as always. I'm Aaron Karolnik, and he's Carlo Kuliakovo. And man, what a day in the hockey world yesterday. Seemed to me that just weird things, uncommon, unconventional occurrences were transpiring seemingly hour after hour. Kent Hughes, just as we were going off the air yesterday, Coco, was hired as the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. Then you had Leon Draisaitl going nose to nose, well, not quite, with a reporter in Edmonton. Then you had Brad Marchand on Instagram going at Vincent Trocheck. And then you had a wild occurrence with the Tampa Bay Lightning playing with four defensemen against the LA Kings. What a day in the hockey world, and what a morning for us. What's up, my man?
It sure was a wild day. I saw the Montreal Canadiens go into Dallas, who has the second best home record in the league, and win their game against the Dallas Stars. 1-0 under Kent Hughes
as the
general manager of the Montreal
the
Canadiens.
The Kent Hughes so, bump.
So you're preaching to the choir of weirdness, but look, we are in the content business, and we were given a lot of content yesterday, and I love it. I love it, and just help me understand, because I was so dialed into the Montreal game, but what happened in Tampa Bay? Why did they play with four defensemen?
So I was reading a lot about it late last night, early this morning. Tampa also winning the game against the Kings 6-4 with four defensemen.
They played the whole game with four defensemen?
With four defensemen, I should say. The defensemen were Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev, and Foote. And my understanding is that Ruta was kind of questionable for the game, and I'm sure there was some kind of salary cap machinations behind the scenes that also factored into this, but for whatever reason, they kind of understood early in the day yesterday that they would only have four defensemen.
And they have a taxi squad?
I, for whatever reason, I don't think it was COVID-related. I think it was just injuries and just issues that they couldn't control.
Crap.
Maybe there's some. So Hedman only played 32 minutes. And when I say only, I mean,
only.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, just looking at that game from the outset, he would be playing 44 minutes. But he was a beast. He scored twice, had an assist, a bunch of hits and blocks. I mean, Hedman, you wonder last night, we talk a lot about Cale Makar. I think that was, not that Victor Hedman needs to put on an exhibition so we know just how good he is. But listen, Victor Hedman is as good as any player in the NHL, bar none, and that's valuable. And last night, he put that on full display. But you know, it's another tough game tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. It's game day here on TSN 1050. They take on the New York Rangers. We have not seen the Leafs in action since Saturday night.
Thank God the Leafs are playing tonight, man. Holy crap.
Amen. And I talk about great defensemen. Adam Fox will be ready to rock for the Blue Shirts at Madison Square Garden. And Austin Matthews tonight could be making history, not only Toronto Maple Leafs history, but NHL history, man. Pavel Bure, Steve Yzerman, the only players in NHL history to score 11 straight games on the road. Mm-hmm. And Austin Matthews can join that elite fraternity this evening with a goal. He has gone goalless in two games against the Rangers this year. So
crazy.
He's due. That's what it means to me. He's definitely scoring tonight. I actually, now that I mentioned it, I really got to place my wager. Austin Matthews, anytime goal, which is something that I've been doing for a long time now, and it's been a very lucrative proposition.
So I was reading some of the notes that Mark Masters usually sends out end of the night, giving us a daily update on the Maple Leafs in Maple Leafs land, because he's at practice every day. And one of the things that really stood out to me was a comment that Jason Spezza made about Austin Matthews. And they're talking about, scoring on the road and how it's supposed to be harder to score on the road because the coach always gets his best matchup on you and stuff like that. But Spezza was commenting on Matthews' incredible hockey IQ. And this one really caught my eye. And this is a quote from Jason Spezza saying, when Matthews is on the bench, he's not just catching his breath. He's thinking about his next play, his next move. He's a little bit of like a chess player in that way. Like, usually, I've never heard of that, of guys, you know, usually when guys are on the bench, they're catching their breath. They're waiting for their name to get, you know, to get called to go up against their next shift. But this is Jason Spezza noticing that Auston Matthews is thinking like, okay, what's my next move going to be? Who am I going to play against and stuff like that? And I guess that's why we're seeing, you know, him score and him play at an incredible pace on the road, because this guy is just built different.
That's right. It's the Queen's Gambit in NHL form. The guy is a sniper, and I can't wait to see what he's able to do tonight against the Rangers.
Like, this is... Sorry, I want to follow up on that. You remember the goal in St. Louis where... It was a face-off play in St. Louis in the D zone. It was against Ryan O'Reilly, one of the best face-off men in the game. And he shot it at the net, and Michael Bunting went in and buried the rebound right off the draw. He said that, you know, I watched a lot of Ryan O'Reilly's face-off plays, and I know when the puck's on that side of the ice, he likes to draw the puck on his backhand. And so because he knew that he was going to draw it on his back, and he told Michael Bunting to go to the net because he was going to shoot it at the net. Like, these are the little things that guys usually don't hear or don't pick up on that they're doing to get an advantage on the opponents they're playing against. And like I said, the St. Louis probably defensive matchup was O'Reilly against Matthews. And this is Matthews studying to get an advantage against a guy he probably knows he can't beat in the faceoff.
Well, both Riley and... Both O'Reilly and Matthews, I think they're around 56% faceoff percentages here. I was looking at that up last night. And yeah, I mean, it's clearly a tough draw against O'Reilly, one of the better, if not best, faceoff men in the NHL. But man, Auston Matthews is a beast. And we talk so much about his offensive prowess. And yeah, he's one of the best goal scorers, if not the best goal scorer. But defensively, he's been outstanding all year long, too. And I feel that's something that almost gets lost in his... just goal-scoring clinics that he puts on night after night. He's such a good two-way player that it's unfortunate, because that would be the wrong term, but maybe it's an under-discussed aspect of his game. Just how
underappreciated,
far he's come.
Too.
Underappreciated. Bang. Indeed.
Yes.
And, yeah, the guy's just a freak. It's crazy how good he is and how fortunate.
Speaking of bang... Am I looking at you right? You got a goatee going on right now?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that, because I totally forgot I did that. And last night, I just kind of like, I had like the beard going. I was lazy. Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shave my, I'm going to shave my face into a goatee. And then I just fell asleep, and I just woke up this morning. I'm like, oh, this is not a good look for me.
I've never seen you with a goatee.
Well, this is not a, like, I don't know. I'm not going full Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, I'm not trying to mow your lawn here. Like, this is your staple at TSN. I will shave when the show is over. This was not intentional. I was watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last night, because there's not that much sports on. Leafs and Raps didn't play. Both played tonight. Very pumped. And I'm like, I'm going to shave. I can't. This has been like too long. It's been maybe like 10 days, 12 days. I'm like, all right, I'm looking gross. And I'm doing it. I'm like, you know what? Let's see how the goatee looks. I'm like, yeah, it looks terrible. Yeah, no surprise there. And... I'm like, whatever, I'll finish up the shaving job later and go watch the rest of the movie, and then I'm like, I'm just going to go to sleep, and I'm like, whatever, you know. Then I wake up, I'm like, oof. It's like one of those things.
I'm not going to lie. Good look, like, though, it's a different look. I mean, good look. I think I'm not convinced to give you that accreditation yet, being a good look, because I've never seen you in it, and it's something new for me to get used to. So it'll grow on me by the end of the day and stuff like that. But
I don't think so, buddy. The goatee is not my life. I'm not beard guy. I'm not goatee guy. I'm just good old Aaron with his
a rod. Put a rod on the mic. A rod. And I've only ever seen you with a beard, and maybe once or twice you've shaved and gotten rid of all of it. Have you ever been a goatee guy?
I did it once or twice. I looked too much like a French villain, so I went back to the beard. Or
so, you know,
when I was
in high school,
I had the chin strap.
That's something you want
the
to avoid.
The chin strap. I remember that was a go-to look of mine back in my young 16, 17-year-old days when I thought it was cool to grow a chin strap.
Same, yeah. At some point, you realize it's just not cool at all.
My no.
Think about the goatee. It's you could easily fashion it into a mustache as well. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go shave my chin area during the commercial break, and when we return, I will have a mustache. You'll see, you know, first up, this is TSN 1050. All right, so I started this show with a goatee. Now I'm down to a mustache. Carlo, I'm going to peel the microphone away from my face so you can see the stash. Your thoughts?
That's not good, eh?
You've gone straight Ted Lasso on me right now.
Wow, an unbelievable reference. I'm shocked that's one you're able to make. I guess you've seen it enough on Twitter.
Why are you shocked by my intelligence?
You've watched Ted Lasso?
I told you I have.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's my bad. I don't know. I'm just always... Dude, you haven't seen The Sopranos. How am I supposed to know you've watched Ted Lasso?
Yeah, well, you've known me for 4 years.
How the hell...
I told you since...
How the hell are you watching Ted Lasso but not The Sopranos would be my question. Ted Lasso is a good show. Don't get me wrong. But, like, The Sopranos. You would love The Sopranos.
I think I watched Ted Lasso right before the hockey season, like in August, like where baseball season was on, and there wasn't really much else to watch, so... I was like, okay, let's dive into Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and it's very digestible in that you can just rip through a bunch of it.
Yeah,
really
there's 30 minute episodes, man. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just think
I didn't like the 30 minute episodes, I never like 30 minute episodes when I watch a TV show.
What? Why is that?
Because I feel like once you get into it, it ends.
Well, it's also one of those. I think I understand what you mean in that you're watching it. Sometimes they're even shorter. Sometimes they're like 22 minute episodes.
22 minutes.
You like watch one and you're like, that was only like, you know, like watch another. And then all of a sudden you've watched the entire series in like a sitting and you're like, whoops, that was a mistake.
Like, like my biggest pet peeve was back in the Entourage days where you were absolutely obsessed with Entourage. It was like you would wait all week and I was hanging out with a bunch of buddies, you know, watching football. Then they would dive into Sopranos at like 9 o'clock and then Entourage was on at what, 10 o'clock every Sunday? And so you wait all week for this new episode of Entourage, and it's exactly what I said. You're getting into it. You're so excited you're watching. It's starting to get good, and then it ends. And it's like, what the hell? I waited all week for 21, 22 minutes of a show? I want more.
I've got some news for you that I'm going to guess you don't know. You might know about... And this is not an Entourage reboot. In fact, Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, writes and produces, directs, he's involved in the entire operation, was involved in the entire operation, not only the TV series, but the movie as well. He is in the midst of writing or has already written a new show that will feature many of the cast of Entourage, including Kevin Connolly, Kevin Dillon. You'll see Charlie Sheen. I think Emmanuel Shariki's part of it as well. Like, nice. It's going to be incredible because Doug Ellen, I don't know why 20 Fingers is shaking his head. That sounds awesome. But, yeah, I mean, I cannot wait. Doug Ellen's a brilliant, brilliant writer, and that'll be so much fun.
Oh, he's an outstanding writer.
We should, I guess he lives in L.A., but maybe we can do a pre-tape with him, Rod.
So I actually, when that's done. So I listened to the podcast, Victory the Podcast, and I actually text with Doug Ellen. I DM with him on Instagram, and I have... Really? His phone number, and you know, we normally, because he's a big Islanders fan, you know, sometimes I see some of the things he says about football, so I'll throw him a quick jab and stuff like that, and he responds. He's an absolute genuine dude, and you know, it's one of those things where you kind of you reach out to like sort of like share your comment without the expectation that you're expecting a response from him, but he does. He responds, and it's like he's a guy that I just know through like talking on social media that I haven't really met, and I actually hope one day I get the chance to actually meet him because he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is.
And
awesome.
And I did hear about this reboot. I know they've had some difficulties re-engaging in their relationship with Vinny Chase. No, with Vinny Chase.
Yeah,
and
he's gone.
Grenier.
Adrian Grenier is like some environmental dude now. Like he's not.
Yeah, like
in
he's
Hollywood.
Turned into such a weirdo. It's like.
Well, I mean, the fate of our oceans is very important.
Oh, very.
The ozone layer. Yes. I don't know, but yeah, that's not Vinny Chase, and that you know, it's Vinny Chase. I think he's not quite Jason Alexander and George Costanza level. Kind of like there's that dude in the street. It's Vinny Chase. Oh my god! Or it's Kramer. It's Costanza. It's Elaine. You know, like. It's that, but it's not that far off because I guess Turtle would probably be just the same qualification. Jerry Farrar hasn't done that much, but Vinny Chase, Adrian Grenier has basically just been Vinny Chase.
He's
been in some other stuff, but like basically it's Vinny Chase. And
well, Turtle has done some like TV shows.
Jerry Farrar has been.
He was in that
big
show
Knicks
Power.
Fan. That's true. That's true. And he's done very well for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I always said if I had a dog, if I ever got a dog, I would name the dog
Chase.
Vinny Chase.
Or Vinny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vinny Chase is actually the middle name to my plant. You know, that's an interesting tidbit about
what
my life.
What do you mean,
life,
the
but,
middle name to your plant?
Yeah,
plant a middle name?
Yeah, the first name of my plant is Dax. And listen, Dax and I are having issues right now because my plant was named after Dax Da Silva, the CEO of a company called Lightspeed, which was a terrific performer for me for a long time. Okay. But it's actually dropped about 75% in the last 3 months. So I've been contemplating renaming the plant or just throwing it out, more so the latter than the former. And it's tough to look at Dax right now. Lightspeed really needs to get going again because it has just been a disgrace of a performer when it comes to the Toronto Stock Exchange. So I might have to just change the name to Vinny Chase.
I mean, good on you for getting.
You don't
a plant.
Name your plants?
I've never heard somebody naming a plant.
It's just a
like,
testament
you're
to
acting
my loneliness.
You're acting as if it's like a pet to you.
I'm extremely lonely.
Do you go and like and pet it and caress it and stuff like that?
Oh, do I ever? Yeah, oh yeah. That soil is moist. Let me just tell you that. But yeah, it's struggling a little bit. Lack of water because I don't really want to water Dax until my stock price climbs again. So shout out to Dax. Shout out to Lightspeed.
I do see Dax a lot in your props.
Prop Masters,
Prop Masters video.
Yeah, you can look at the growth because we started CFL Prop Masters last year in maybe August, and then Dax was just a baby then. And now Dax is a full-grown plant with some tentacles and climbing up and down. So shout out to my plant. Which I'm going to rename Vinny Chase very soon, actually, now that I think about it, because Vinny Chase, all-time classic TV character, and we look forward to whatever Doug Ellen, the creator of Entourage, has cooking up when it comes to his new screenplay, and I'm sure it's going to be of top, top quality. We did see another friend of ours, Coco, you mentioned Doug Ellen, Cole Perfetti, a guy who we played golf with, directly, at of course, Oshawa Golf Club, I believe it was, a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
he was in the group behind us. Great kid. We're big fans of his. He scored his first NHL goal last night for the Winnipeg Jets. And did he have a great clip when he was interviewed about it and just discussing what it meant to him. And we'll play it for you on the other side as First Up continues. This is Karolik and Koliakovo. You're listening to TSN 1050. A listener texting in, literally just started Sopranos for the first time last week. Show is awesome. Couldn't agree more. And if you're looking for something to watch and you haven't seen Sopranos, get on it. Well, I mentioned Cole Perfetti.
Hey, by the way, speaking of TV shows, I believe, and we were talking about it during the break, that apparently some announcement is coming in our province about some restrictions being eased on Friday, which is positive news. But the other positive news Friday, I believe we researched this last week, the start of season 3 being released for Ozark.
I think it's season 4, but yes, season 4 of Ozark. I believe it's going to be released in a different way
than
usual.
Season 4?
Yeah, I think so. And Jason Bateman. Ah, Ozark's great. That's a big weekend. What a weekend.
Four.
Friday night, you dial in number 1, CHL and TSN, featuring Carlo Koliakova, Lauren Dykin, and Frankie Corrado. Number 2, Ozark season 4. Saturday afternoon, you've got NFL playoffs. You've got the Bengals. You've got the Titans. You've got the Packers and the Niners. You've got the Leafs taking on the Anaheim Ducks, I believe, Saturday night as well. Can't wait. And, of course, Sunday, we've got football all day. I mean, it doesn't get any better. By the way, the Bills game on Sunday, 6:30 kick. How awesome
Love
is that
it.
For us?
Primetime, buddy.
It's an amazing it. For us.
Love so, it. Just reading right now that Ozark Season 4 will be released in two parts this year. So, the first 7 episodes are being released on Friday, and the second half is set to be released later in 2022. What the hell? How do you tease
garbage.
Me like that?
That is garbage. That's pure garbage from Netflix. What are you doing there? Wow, that's very interesting, though. 7 episodes. So is it a 14-episode season?
14-episode season, yeah.
Oh, so they're going to release it in, like, September. They're going to just tempt us
so
and just
stupid.
Be waiting. 20 fingers on the pulse of the pop culture world saying that Too Hot to Handle Season 3 came out today, I guess.
Ah.
And 20 Fingers, have you already watched some of it? No, he doesn't. 20 Fingers
He's too busy working right now, man. This guy,
this guy lives there.
A
you have a cot, do you have a cot in the studio there, Chrissy? Yeah, he doesn't leave the TSS.
He
studios,
is a machine.
Too
We're
hot
so
to
lucky
handle.
To have a guy like 20 Fingers.
Yeah,
he's we really right. are.
He's okay. He's decent. But in any case, the Too Hot to Handle. Too Hot to Handle is just a degenerate TV show. Like, just horrible, horrible. And if you know a female between the ages of 20 and 35, guaranteed they watch Too Hot to Handle. It's a 100% watch rate. And is it good? No. Is it entertaining? Debatable. Is it trashy? Yes. And I'll probably have to dial into that because there's been some great moments and great content from those two seasons in the past. You know, remember Carly Lawrence? Do you know her from Toronto, who's now like a social media star, but she was on season 2.
Know.
Francesca, it's always Canadians who steal the show in Too Hot to Handle. Anyways, we need to move past this terrible discussion that probably no one else is interested in except me, because I just, for whatever reason, like
well,
that
here's
show.
A perfect segue. What else was Too Hot to Handle last night?
Oh, my goodness. This give him something, Chrissy. Let's go.
Bang!
There it is. Yeah, he gives him himself yelling bang. You're talking about Cole Perfetti.
I sure
Winnipeg
am.
Jets first round pick, a Canadian. We're big fans of Cole's.
World Junior star.
Like World Junior star. He's going to develop into a great player. Unfortunately, the Winnipeg Jets losing 4-3 to Washington in Washington in overtime. But Cole Perfetti scores his first NHL goal, first of many. And let's listen to the interview with Perfetti and kind of his recollection of how it all went down.
First NHL goal, Cole, I know that you have thought about this moment for many years. Did it live up to what you imagined?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, I kind of didn't believe it when it went in the net. You know, you dream of this as a kid, and came back to the bench, and I looked at Doobie, and I was just, I can't believe I just scored in the NHL. And pretty special moment, and you know, glad to get that one out of the way there.
Aww. Well, Cole, believe it, buddy, because you just scored in the NHL, and for your first NHL goal, that was a rifle of a beauty of a shot. Something that, you know, when you grow up and you have this dream of playing in the NHL, and you know, you finally get there, and you live out the childhood dream and the path it takes you to get there, you always think to yourself, you know, what could be the story that, or at least the memory that is cemented in my head about how I scored my first NHL goal. Like, people think, oh, it's an overtime winner, it's a backhand top cheese bar down goal. Well, that one's definitely one to share with his kids when he grows up, because normally, you know, when guys score, the worst ones that you want to get is an empty net goal that,
ooh,
you know,
yeah,
it seals
tough.
The game. Like, when the goalie is pulled, it's like, yeah, that's my first NHL goal. But Cole Perfetti definitely has a cool story to share when he tells his kids, whenever he grows up, if he decides to have them, about how he scored his first NHL goal. It was top shelf. It was how you draw it up, how you dream it up, and it was a beauty.
Give us your first goal story. I think I know who you scored it on, but I don't remember exactly how it all went down.
Who did I score it on?
I believe it was Brent Johnson.
Correct. Yes, it was Brent Johnson.
We've had Brent on the show before, and I don't even know if you remember it exactly. He's let in a lot of goals, but
He did remember it. He absolutely did remember it, but it was an absolute rocket. It was a beauty. It was...
you know, as a face-off play in the offensive zone, the puck gets back to me, gets one back to me. I walk the line, I take a clapper, and it goes bar down and in. No, that's not how it went. I floated one to the net. I floated one to the net. It actually hit the defenseman in the shoulder because the way he reacted, it was like he was trying to dodge getting hit in the face. And it popped up into the air and over Brent Johnson and into the back of the net. And Brent Johnson is if you don't remember who Brent Johnson, this guy's like 7'5" in the net. So just think about how high that puck had to go over top of him, behind him, and into the back of the net. And it was, I believe it was the eighth goal in an 8-2 win against the Washington Capitals.
They all count, buddy. They all count.
They all count. They don't ask how. They just ask how many.
If you Google Carlo Koliakovo first goal, here's what comes up. He scored his first career NHL goal on November 8, 2005 against the Washington Capitals. Then, for whatever reason, goes to this. On January 23, 2006, Koliakovo missed a hip check on Vaclav Varada in a game against the Ottawa Senators, smashing head first into the boards. He was taken off the ice in a stretcher. That's the first thing that comes up. I don't know. That's not really funny. Hopefully you were okay.
Hopefully I was okay. So. I almost decapitated myself, man.
Yeah, Vaclav Varada really needed to... By the way, speaking of hits, Brady Tkachuk yesterday just crushes some dude on Buffalo. Cleanest hit you'll ever see. Yeah. That's something that should be applauded. Everybody on Buffalo's bench should stand up and be like, great hit, Brady. That's clean. That's exactly what we want in the NHL. All of a sudden, Brady's throwing bombs against some guy because he gets jumped.
Guys.
Just a complete joke. The NHL, there should be, if you're talking about one rule change that I think needs to be instituted in the NHL, if you have a clean hit and you are attacked by the opposing players, you should get a game misconduct or something. Because I'm so sick of seeing great hits like Brady Tkachuk's basically being trying to get removed from the game. And I just thought it was completely egregious how Buffalo attacked Brady Tkachuk for doing something that we should be imploring more players to do, because that's an art from the game. That's a relic of past NHL lives. And it's just so disappointing to see Tkachuk have to fight.
And I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is something that I've wanted to address for the longest time. And it's honestly one of my pet peeves when I watch the game of hockey, because I understand the game has changed and there is less fighting and there is less hitting. And I don't know if it's because they are trying to phase it out of the game. They're not phasing it out of the game by making it illegal. They're just phasing it out of the game with the way they construct their rosters, with, you know, prioritizing skill, speed, youth, and whatever it may be. But I don't remember ever reading that you're not allowed to hit anybody anymore in the game of hockey. And so this is the problem that's going on in hockey, is that you still have guys that play the game with a physical intent. And you have guys that play the game that don't expect to get hit at all. And when you have those two type of players playing on the ice, these are the incidents that happen. And this is one of the prime reasons why guys get hurt, is because you have a guy who has the puck that is not expecting to get hit, who doesn't understand who he's on the ice with, and is playing against the guy that still has that physicality part of his game. And so, why does a guy that still has the DNA to play a physical brand of hockey, because it's still allowed, why does a guy that plays physical still have to embrace himself to get into a fight?
It's a joke.
When he makes a clean hit? This is where I have my argument stands, is instead of fighting the guy who makes the hit, the guy jumping the guy should fight his own teammate for not having his head up and basically say, I don't want to fight your battles because you're too stupid to keep your head up in a physical game. Keep your head up so that I don't have to put my body on the line to protect you or to stand up for you.
It's such a shame that the game has gone this way when it comes to a clean body check. And listen, I think that's a something that needs to be addressed. I don't think Brady Tkachuk should have to be attacked because he laid out some dude for having his head down. I think that's just a complete
And it's not
joke.
Like it's not like he was there was an intent there to injure. He just made a clean hit like he did. There was no head contact. The guy wasn't hurt on the play. And
even if he was hurt.
This.
Like, listen, that sucks. Don't get me wrong.
Look, you never want to encourage anybody.
Of course not.
Or not encourage. You never want to, at least, share the thought of somebody getting hurt in a play. But I did a game last week. It was Montreal versus Chicago. And Alex Romanov, who's turning into one of the most physical players in the game, he's a defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. Good young player. I think he's like top five in the league in hits. He absolutely laid out Lafferty on the Chicago Blackhawks with the cleanest hit I've ever seen. And it was because Lafferty went into a puck battle not expecting to get hit. Brian Carpenter comes in from the blue line, skating as fast as he can, drops his mitts against Romanov, and just starts throwing them on Romanov, who just is not expecting to get hit. Refs come in, they break it up. Carpenter skates to the middle of the ice and starts waving into the fans, wanting them to get up on their feet and celebrate. And so Carpenter got a 2-minute for instigating, 5 minutes for fighting, and a game misconduct for getting out of the game. And Montreal scored in that power play. So you tell me who the bigger idiot is on that play.
I think you would just answer your own question. No doubt about it. And
what are you celebrating there? You had to jump.
Exactly.
You had to jump a guy who made a clean hit? Like, that's not hockey. If you want to make an example of somebody on the other team maybe making a hit on one of your teammates, go out, get in his face, give him a little bit of face wash, and say, look, next time you do that, we're going to settle this on our own. Or next time you touch the puck, I'm going to come hit you like that.
There
like those don't, that's the right messaging to share in a game like that. Not just to go up and drop your gloves and say, I don't care what you think, we're going. That's not hockey.
It's not.
It's
become hockey. It's become
it's
hockey,
embarrassing, to be honest.
It is embarrassing. By the way, speaking of fighting, did you see Chara fill that dude last night? Like, just
uncle,
this poor guy.
Uncle, this guy's 44
I don't know.
Years
I don't
old.
Know. I don't even know who Chara was fighting. I can't remember.
Zach McEwen.
Was Zach McEwen? Oh yeah. Man, he caught an uppercut right to the grill and went down like a sack of potatoes.
It was almost like when you go to a gym and you've got those mannequins that sit there and they just bobble back and forth.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there and just throwing punches at it. That's basically what Chara did to McEwen yesterday. He just held him out and just was throwing one, two, three. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, just go down.
Yeah,
just go down.
As soon as my helmet comes off, if I'm fighting Chara, if my helmet comes off, turtle immediately.
Yeah, get down.
If you don't have that protection, you're done.
Or here's an idea. Maybe study some of Chara's YouTube videos of his fights in previous paths, and don't pick on that giant.
No chance. And I think Lucic would fall in that same category as well. We saw Lucic just beat the crap out of some dude over the weekend, and Chara did the same thing last night. A busy, busy morning for us with regards to guests on this radio program. We'll have Dustin Nielsen from TSN Radio in Edmonton discussing the story of the day. Leon Draisaitl versus
Edmonton. Can those
Jim
guys play some
Matheson.
Hockey right now? Like, the schedule makers should just put a game today so they can stop talking about the media and just stop talking with the media and just play a hockey game.
I think my favorite part,
one game in 7 days.
I know. Well, that's what you get when you have a long layoff and your team is really struggling. Kind of beefs with the media. And if you haven't heard it, we'll play it for you a little bit later. Maybe in about 20 minutes' time. My favorite part of it, Coco, and we'll get to the morning scroll with a rod on the other side, was kind of the old guard of sports media in Canada retweeting the fake Jim Matheson account where he's like kind of like, oh, like you have to check it out. Maybe we'll – you got to see what's going on. We don't need to name specific names, but let's just say some veteran media scribes try to support their boy, Jim Matheson, who's like a Hockey Hall of Fame reporter or whatever. And they're just someone made a fake Jim Matheson Twitter account, and everyone was duped. Everybody was duped.
No,
I thought it was hilarious. And
were they duped the same way as people were duped with my Canadian Olympic roster announcement?
Pretty close. Pretty close. I'm not sure some of them have even realized that it was a fake Jim Matheson Twitter account because he's not that active on social media. But if you missed the Jim Matheson reporter in Edmonton, his interaction with Leon Draisaitl. We'll play it for you in about 15 minutes' time. But coming up on the other side, here's our producer, Arad Asfandi, with the Morning Scroll. First Up continues. This is TSN Radio.
First Up rolls on this Wednesday morning. Karolnik Kolyakovo and our producer, Arad Asfandi, with the Morning Scroll.
This story is near and dear to my heart because when I was 16 years old, I did the exact same thing. A woman in the UK, she failed her first driving test in London. So what she did, just like any other 16-year-old, she went on the internet and tried to find the easiest route to the driving test. I remember personally, I failed my first one at Downsview, so my second one was in Aurora, and I passed pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman took it a little further. She traveled 500 miles from London to Isle of Mull, off the coast of Scotland. To put it in perspective, it's like traveling from Toronto to Quebec City. And she still failed her driving test.
So wait a minute, this is, you said this story is near and dear to you. Did you do the same thing?
I failed my first one in Downsview. I took a quick right turn for some reason, and got one wheel on the sidewalk. I wasn't ready back then. I was a bad driver. But
it's weird you say that. I did the exact same thing. I failed at Downsview. Yeah. I went up to Aurora, and I passed. Aurora, those driving test centers, they'll give anybody G1s or G2s or whatever it was.
By the way, RIP to the Aurora Driving Test Center because the only one in the York region now is Newmarket.
Wow.
They closed down Aurora for some reason.
Maybe they got caught just handing out too many licenses. That's why there's so many bad drivers on the road.
Could be. Speaking of bad drivers, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw what was going on still yesterday. What? 35 hours removed from the snowfall in the afternoon. I saw like cars still stuck on the road. Like I'm walking up University Avenue, a major road in downtown Toronto. It wasn't plowed. I mean, cars were getting stuck on the middle of the road. And I'm like, what are we doing here? How has this not been plowed yet?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure. I really need to drive my car. I haven't driven it in so long.
Speaking of which.
But that's a tough situation there.
You talk about plowing. And this is one of my biggest pet. I wouldn't say biggest. One of my pet peeves as well, too, when it snows. And you know how much I love the snow. Like, I walked out yesterday. I even went for a drive yesterday. And it's so nice seeing these, like, barricades of snow, like, that separates people's lawns and driveways and sidewalks. It was pretty cool. I love it. But people that knew there was a snowstorm coming, why the hell would you think it's a good idea to park on the street in your neighborhood? Because the idiots that didn't take their cars off the street did one of two things. One, they got barricaded in because the snow basically was so high they had to shovel themselves out. But they also screwed, like in my neighborhood, the rest of the neighborhood when the plows came through. Because the people that parked on the streets, the plows couldn't stay off of the sidewalk. They had to go around them. And now instead of having a two-lane sort of driving space in your subdivision, there's one lane because the plows weren't able to do their jobs.
So
people, when you know there's snow coming, get your cars off of the street. Put them on the driveways.
Hopefully this is the only snowfall, real snowfall of the year. I'm optimistic. I generally am. You know, it's January 19th. This is the only real accumulation.
I hope it's not. I just bought a snowblower yesterday.
No, I hope we never see snow again. Come on, global warming. Let's go. Heat it up, baby. Heat it up. But yeah, it's,
just got a snowblower yesterday. I want to get that thing out and rolling.
Yeah, that was a tough day for a lot of people, and namely for those who don't have snowblowers, like our man 20 Fingers, who's telling me that he put in like what 24-hour straight shift at TSN Radio, has to come home yesterday and just shovel the driveway.
Wow, dude,
the
come
guy's
on,
an animal.
Man. Aren't you the
he
man of the house?
He is the man of the house. He's the man of the show and the man of the house.
Yeah.
He's talking to himself in the studio. I don't know, probably playing Wordle. What is Wordle, Roger?
Yeah,
you know what is
Wordle?
I know what it, I don't play it, but I know what it is. It's basically a game. I think you get six guesses to guess a six-letter word of the day. And
for some reason, it's become the
most addictive thing, apparently.
Yeah, I might play that a little bit later today. Can you compete against other people?
So hold on a second.
Or is that...
No, when you just compete against yourself.
When you say you get five guesses, do they give you any hints to that guess of the word?
They do. Okay. Or 20 Fingers is shaking his head.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we should get a little Wordle thing going on this radio program.
That'd
Can we
be
do
amazing.
It during commercial breaks?
Yeah, I'm going to guess
Wordle, the Wordle probably. Of the day will give a hint every hour, and by the end of the show, we'll have somebody guess us or at least guess him what the word is.
That's an interesting idea. I'm not sure if that's how it works, but we will experiment. And it looks like 20 Fingers knows what he's talking about when it comes to Wordle, so he can explain it to us in the break, and we'll get back and figure that out as we go along. Good text from your brother there. It's a very painful one, but very painful. In any case, all right, we'll be back on the other side. We'll get into tonight's Leafs game. They're taking on the New York Rangers in NYC. The Raptors in action against the Dallas Mavericks. It should be a fun night watching Luka Doncic take on the boys. And I'm pumped for that. I'm pumped for the Leafs game. So it should be a quality night in Toronto sports. Thank you to Arad for the morning scroll. You'll be back a little bit later for Bang or What, but a jam-packed First Up on the way. We continue. This is TSN 1050. Hey, yo. All right. I'm going to spit the New York State of Mind verse. This is Nas from Illmatic. Perhaps one of the great songs of all time. Actually, not even perhaps. Undoubtedly one of the best songs of all time. And I don't know if you're a fan of Nas, the Ill Wizard. No, sorry. Wow. Illmatic, the Grand Wizard, and Illmatic will be played at my funeral. So if you gentlemen are so lucky to attend my funeral, I've already made sure my friends know that Illmatic to be played in its entirety throughout my funeral. Your thoughts, Carlo?
Sure. I don't even know what that song is, but...
Oh, that's New York State of Mind. DJ Premier produced the beat. One of the more iconic songs in the history of...
You act like I'm supposed to know. Like, I told you, I'm not in tune with... You know, the music world. So,
well, in any case, it's got U2 you are in it. you are in tune with the hockey world and the league.
Tell you what, you know who's before we move on to the hockey world, you know who's getting in tune with the band U2? It's my kids,
really,
my kids. Because I don't know if you've seen the new Sing 2 movie. Like Bono is actually one of the characters in the movie, and they play a bunch of U2 songs. It's unbelievable. So, kids are growing up U2 fans. I love it.
Yikes! I mean, you got Gina needs to help him out a little bit here. Like,
what do you mean? They see my signed picture. Interest. They see my signed picture of the band U2, and they're like, "Daddy, that's an awesome picture. Those guys are awesome. I love their songs."
Yeah. I mean, U2 is a good band, great band for sure. But hopefully,
don't sit here and mock U2. One of the greatest bands ever.
I agree. Well, we mentioned New York. Of course, the Leafs are in New York to play the Rangers. They will be without a couple of their top defensemen tonight. Jake Muzzin out with a concussion. He will be out for at least this week. Justin Hall remains in COVID protocol. So we will be seeing at least one new face on the back end for the Leafs. And a very inexperienced group of D take on the New York Rangers, a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050 later this evening. We'll be back with hour two of First Up. We'll be talking Leafs Rangers. We'll be talking Raps Mavs, the Edmonton Oilers, Dreisaitl Matheson with Dustin Nielsen, and Leafs Breakfast with Dave Poole. And that's all on the way. This is TSN 1050.